Testimony is going to come from First Chronicles, chapter 16, verse 23 through 31. Sing to the Lord, all the earth, proclaim his salvation day after day. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous deeds among all people. For great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. He is to be feared above all other gods. For all the gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before him. Strength and joy are in his dwelling place. Ascend to the Lord, all you families of nations. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come before him. Worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness. Tremble before him, all the earth. The world is firmly established and it cannot be moved. Amen.
Happy Sabbath, church. I'm going to try to do a song for you this morning. I'm still not 100%. Before I do the song, I want to take the opportunity to introduce Elder Terry Morcell from the Prince Frederick Emmanuel Seventh-day Adventist Church. I got that a little confused there. He has been a friend of ours since the inception of the Plater family, and probably before that, some 30-some years ago. His wife, Mabel, is with him today. Praise the Lord. Glad to have you with us. He's truly a man of God, a stand-up elder. We serve together down at Emmanuel, and God has blessed his ministry, and I pray that he will bless us today. More than wonderful. Can I say thanks for all the things that God's done for me? Things so undeserved, yet you give to prove your love for me. The voices of a million angels cannot express my gratitude, all that I am and ever hope to be. I owe it all to you, to God. Let it be pleasing, Lord,
Praise the Lord, everyone. So good to be in the house of the Lord today. I am happy to be with you, and I have to say that I have enjoyed myself thus far. As soon as I get clipped here, we can get going. I'm struggling. There we go. All right. Well, I feel at home. I really do. I was received very well here, always am, and just want to thank Elder Plater for that beautiful song and the introduction. I also would like to thank Elder Don Fowler for such a warm welcome, and your Elder Elder Rambo reached out to me and extended the invitation. So I say thanks, and I would be remiss if I did not take the time to thank your pastor, Pastor Bashir, for allowing me to have this time in his pulpit. So I'm grateful for that. I'm going to invite you to stand with me as I read my sermonic text for this morning. It's taken from Isaiah, the 6th chapter, and I will read in your hearing verses 1 through 8. And it reads, "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up. And the train of his robe filled the temple. Above it stood seraphim. Each one had 6 wings. With 2 he covered his face, with 2 he covered his feet, and with 2 he flew. And one cried to another and said, 'Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory.' And the posts of the door were shaken by the voice of him who cried out, and the house was filled with smoke. So I said, 'Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts.' Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a live coal, which he had taken with tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth with it and said, 'Behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away and your sin is purged.' And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, 'Whom shall I send? And who will go for us?' Then I said, 'Here am I, send me.'" Let us pray. Loving Father, I thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to share a word. And Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit will continue to fill this place and fill my heart. Bless us, Lord, as we move forward with your word to be shared with your people on this day. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. For a little while this morning or this afternoon, I will be speaking under the topic, Evidence of a True Worshipper. Evidence of a True Worshipper. To worship something or someone is to place it above everything else. True worship is valuing or treasuring God above everything and everyone. It is to show reverence and adoration for his deity. It is to honor and to respect that which is holy. I pray that you have come to church today to worship God, our Creator, Lord, and Savior. There are quite a few components to worship. One, we do it every Sabbath, the call to worship, which is read by usually one of the elders. You don't mind if I just spend a little time teaching and preaching today, do you? The call to worship begins the worship service. It calls God's people into God's presence, usually by a scripture reading, proclaiming God's majesty, sovereignty, power, love, and deity. It is a call from God to his people. God has called us together, brothers and sisters, to worship him. We should be excited just to be in God's presence. Do you know that your attitude toward worship determines your worship experience? Worshiping God should also take place during the week. We should not just find ourselves running to the house of worship to get that boost in our spiritual being. But we should spend time during the week worshiping God, alone and with our family. We all should feel different when we leave church. You know, it's good to see everybody. It's good to get together in fellowship. But we should come to receive a blessing. You know, there's a song that says, what God has for me is for me. And, you know, that may seem selfish to some. But the point I would like to make is that we should come to church expecting a blessing. You know, I come to meet Jesus and to receive what he has for me. It may be in a song. It may be in the sermon. It may be in a prayer. I come for my blessing, Elder Plater. God has it just for me. That's how I feel. That's how you should feel. Our attitude really depends on how we receive God that particular Sabbath. You know, we go through life, most of us, I know I'm still working. We work. And it seems like we get in that routine, but I find it refreshing when I come into the house of the Lord, be it Wednesday night prayer meeting or be it on Sabbath. I need that boost. It's more than looking the part. You know, we all tend to look good on Sabbath. We all know the right things to say. We all know the right shout at the right moment. We speak like a worshiper. But in Matthew chapter 15, verses 8 and 9, Jesus says, these people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And in vain they worship me, teaching the doctrines and commandments of men. God doesn't want vain worship, church. John 4 and verse 24 says, God is a spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Two important components of worship, the presence of the Holy Spirit and the truth found in God's word. Isaiah chapter 6 gives us a good look at how worship, true worship, can and should change our lives. Looking at verses 1 through 3, and we're talking about evidence of a true worshiper. The chapter begins by saying, in the year King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Isaiah's vision came after the death of King Uzziah, who had done great things in Jerusalem, and all the people loved him. Uzziah began his reign at age 16, and he reigned for 52 years. He was the first cousin of Isaiah. He became a household name. He was very popular and very powerful. Judah prospered under him. The Philistines were defeated during his reign because he had built a strong military base. The people and the economy was thriving. You see, taxes were down. The interest rates were low. The cost of fuel was low. Or was that a mule? I think that was a mule back then. all the prices were low. Uzziah was a national hero that everyone trusted and depended on, including Isaiah. When Uzziah died, this was devastating to the nation. The people were fearful of the future. This strong throne is now empty. You see, sometime God will remove people, things, and obstacles that may block our true view of him in order for us to see him clearly and trust him dearly. It may be a person, a career, money. In this case, so many people depended on King Uzziah, including Isaiah. And it's now here that his throne sits empty. It's here that Isaiah receives a vision of God sitting on the throne. The throne is no longer empty. God is sitting on the throne. Evidence of a true worshiper. As you enter into the sanctuary, you can see and know that God is still on the throne. He's high and lifted up. The way that you are greeted at the door, the atmosphere of the church, the smiles on the faces, the level of the voices in the sanctuary. You should see love and feel love, the love of God flowing through the members of the church. This is how the church should reverence God, our attitude, our demeanor. Verse 2 says, above it stood a seraphim that had six wings. With two they covered his face, with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. The angel covered his face because he was in the presence of God, who is holy, holy, holy. One scholar said that the feet may have been covered because they were dirty and therefore unclean. If you can remember, Moses and Joshua were told to remove their shoes when they stood on holy ground. You see, this gives us a picture of how we should enter God's presence. We should come in with a pure heart, a clean mind, and we should empty ourselves of the world because we are now in the presence of a God who is holy, holy, holy. Sometimes I've heard people say that so-and-so is preaching today, so I don't know if I'm going to church. But let me tell you, you may miss your blessing that day, because God uses who God will use. We can't pick and choose who God will use. We have to be open to the word of God, whether it's coming from me, whether it's coming from your elder, whether it's coming from your pastor. Don't miss your blessing because you are choosing who should be delivering the message of God. This should let us know that we cannot come into God's presence any kind of way. A true worshiper will honor and respect the house of God because he or she recognizes that they're in God's presence, who is holy, holy, holy. Our conversation, our voice, our demeanor. And you may find me repeating this because sometimes we need to hear things over and over again in order for it to sink in. We should not take a nap on God's time. Come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. We should not take a nap on God's time. You know, I don't even want to think back to how long I've been in church. It was since I was a little guy. I just can't do it. I mean, even at the point where I felt sleepy, I just couldn't close my eyes and go to sleep. And I thank God for that. But man, I've seen some people have that good, good, good. Y'all know what I'm talking about. That good old Sabbath nap right in church. Oh, have mercy. And verse 3, and one cried to another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. God's magnificent glory is seen throughout the earth. Creator of all things, worthy of all praise, evidence of a true worshiper is that he or she sees God as supreme, Lord of lords, creator of all, and reverence themselves before him at all times. Isaiah is awestruck. Remember, he's in vision now. He's awestruck. Can you imagine what a vision? Verse 4 tells us, and the posts of the door were shaken by the voice of him who cried out, and the house was filled with smoke. Can you picture that? Oh, Isaiah found out that the throne is not empty, church. God is still on the throne. When things don't look like they're going well for you, God, just remember, God is still on the throne. And as long as God is still on the throne, he will turn things around for you and for me. I want to read verses 4 and 5 together once again. It says, and the posts of the door were shaken by the voice of him who cried out, and the house was filled with smoke. This would get your attention. So I said, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Isaiah said, woe is me, for I am undone. Isaiah sees God and he sees himself. Hear me now. He sees how sinful he is. And he sees the angel, that the angels are covering their faces from the glory of God, crying, holy, holy, holy. And he's saying, I am a man of unclean lips, which indicates that he has an unclean heart. You see, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, right? Amen. Evidence of a true worshiper is one who sees and beholds the holiness found in God and recognizes their own sinful condition. Woe is me. It's not my brother nor my sister, but it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. It's not the preacher nor the deacon, but it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Confession and repentance, evidence of a true worshiper. Verses 6 and 7, then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a live coal, which he had taken with the tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth with it and said, behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away. Have mercy. And your sin is purged. The seraphim touched Isaiah's lips with a live coal, a hot glowing coal that he had to use tongs from the altar to remove. He said to Isaiah, your iniquity is taken away. Your sin is purged. God wants to clean us up, brothers and sisters, so that he can use us up. God is willing to cleanse us. Someone watching online today, God wants to clean you up. Someone here today, God wants to clean you up. God's grace and mercy is sufficient to clean us up and to use us for his service. God will forgive us. We have to forgive ourselves and not look back at past sins or mistakes. You see, that's just a trick of the enemy. The enemy wants to keep us down while God wants to lift us up so that we are able to walk in newness of life. You see, he who God set free is free indeed. There's power, church, in the name of Jesus to break every chain. Amen. Amen. Verse 8. Also, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, who shall I send and who will go for us? Oh, listen to Isaiah. He said, then I said, here am I. Send me. Are you willing to say, here am I? Send me. When you get that call from the nominating committee, are you willing to say, here am I? Send me. Are you reluctant to serve in the house of the Lord? Pray on it. Ask God for that answer. But be willing to be used for God. You know, we grow the more that we are used. We grow for God. I often have this conversation with my mother, who's also an elder. And we always say that, you know, when we're busy for the Lord, when we're doing something for the Lord, God always pours out a special blessing, and we receive a special blessing. But not just that, we grow in Christ. And it's the same way when we come into the house of worship. The more we hear the word, the more we're around the word, we digest the word, the more we grow. And God is fitting you, he's fitting me for his service. Evidence of a true worshiper is one who will hear the call from God and will say, here am I, send me. God revealed himself to Isaiah. Isaiah saw his awesome power, his holiness, which caused Isaiah to see his sinfulness. And as a result, he confessed his sin. God forgave him, cleansed him, and fitted him for service. God wants to do that with us. Isaiah accepted the call to be used by God, evidence of a true worship. Some folk are what I like to call convenient worshipers. Oh, hear me now. Convenient worshipers. How do I know if I'm a convenient worshiper? Now, you make that call. I'm going to throw some things at you. If you're always late for church, you just may be a convenient worshiper. God evidently isn't a priority in your life. If you have to search for your Bible every week before church, you just may be a convenient worshiper. It's evident that you have not spent time with God during the week. If the only time you pray is when you experience some sort of crises in your life, you just may be a convenient worshiper. If you only attend church when you are asked to participate in the service, you just may be a convenient worshiper. Oh, it's quiet. If you're constantly counting down the hours till sunset on Sabbath, you just may be a convenient worshiper. And if you have a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, you just might be a convenient worshiper. I pray this is not the case in your life. I pray that our desire is to be a true worshiper of God. And like Isaiah, it will be evident in your life that we will allow God to purify our hearts and that we will be willing to be served in the vineyard. We all should come to the point in our lives that it is evident that we are a true worshiper of God. And you want to tell every soul about God. It should be visible that the transformation has taken place in your life. When we come into a personal relationship with God and spend time with Him, we should change. When Moses came down from Mount Sinai, it was visible, evident, that he had been with God. His skin was shining to the point that Aaron was afraid. And the children of Israel saw, when they saw him, the Bible says that they were afraid to come near him. If you want to change your ways, spend time with God. Pray, study, listen, confess, repent, study, listen, pray, serve him. I'm trying to make it sink in. Worship should draw us close to God, make us stronger, more like God. You know, we are living in a time where we need God in our lives every day. Therefore, we need to spend time in God's word every day. There's so much happening today, church. There's so much injustice. There are wars. There are so many things that if God isn't in our lives, we would fall. We would lose our minds. You see, because when we spend that time in His word, it's there we gain strength to withstand the fiery darts of the enemy. The goal of this message is to point out, one, who we worship, and that's God, who is still on the throne. Two, we have to push away or remove whatever it is that's blocking our view of Him in order to gain a clear direction and purpose for our lives. The third thing, to see our spiritual condition in the light of God. Remember what Isaiah said, woe is me, I'm undone. We can only measure our condition, our spiritual condition, as we look at Jesus Christ. Don't look at me, I may stumble. Look at Christ. You won't fall. The fourth thing, when asked to serve, when you hear His voice say, who will go? Say like Isaiah, here I am, send me. Evidence of a true worship. God loves us and He wants to spend time with us. He's willing to forgive us, willing to cleanse us up, use us in His service. Will you allow God in your life today? Will you allow God to come into your heart? With our heads bowed, I would like to make an appeal. Lord God, we're here today just asking that you would help us to see your face. Help us to come into your presence. And I pray, Lord, that you will come into our hearts. Lord, as we come to worship, I pray, Lord, that we will empty ourselves of ourselves, that we will be able to receive the blessings from on high that you have in store for us each and every day. Let us take worship serious. And Lord, let us do so with smiles on our faces, that it will attract others, that they too will want to come into your house of prayer. Lord, use us, fit us for your service. And Lord, let us not be reluctant to say no, but let us examine ourselves and give ourselves to you, that we may say like Isaiah, Here I am. Use me, Lord. Lord, my second appeal may be to someone who has not made their calling and election sure. Lord, if there's one here today, I would ask that that individual or individuals would just raise their hand. Lord God, we just thank you for what our eyes have seen and what our ears have heard today. Lord, I ask that you would continue to be with us throughout this day. Bless and keep us, Lord. Bless this church. Bless every member, every child to the oldest adult here, Lord, that they will be saved, Lord, when you come in the clouds. That's my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you all. Praise God.